done on a Sunday school lesson type of study, which is the subject of eschatology or the future plans. And it's a very extensive subject. If you have to study, it may take many, many hours of study. But what we decided is, since this is the only time that everybody is in the same room, young and old alike, and our younger generation need to know some of these foundations to be preached or taught from here. So that's why we took this platform to do this. So last week we covered quite a bit of ground. This is not an in-depth, detailed study, just to give you basically an overview of what is called, Dr. Silas Nair calls it an ABC of eschatology. So this is basically very basic that we are going to look at. We just covered quite a bit of ground last week. And by the way, if you're looking at the picture, that's the little house I grew up in my life back home. Well, these are the subjects. You can minimize the input a little bit on that. So, thank you. As we covered quite a bit of ground for the sake of others who were not here last week, we looked at what is eschatology, the description of it, the purpose for the study, 2 Peter chapter 3, 11. Some of you are laughing at my dog. Then we also looked at the entire scripture and we saw that 27% of the scriptures has some amount of predictive material, 27%, both in the New and Old Testament combined. That is quite a bit of verses. So the importance of prophecy is very, very important in our life to know. We looked at the danger of date setters, which has happened many years, especially in the Western world. We looked at the accuracy of the prophecy that was fulfilled, especially in relation to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we saw 38 prophecies that was literally fulfilled in the life of our Savior. So the accuracy is extremely important for that, even for the future. We looked at the predictions concerning second coming. We looked at the futuristic interpretation of the book of Revelation, which is the only way to understand that book, futuristic interpretation. Then we looked at briefly who are the Israelites, the difference between Israel and the church, which are the nations in the prophecy, and the church in prophecy. And we also looked at seven dispensations. None of these were taken into very extensive, but most of it is references that we did. Get this on the line so we can see it much better. Okay, we looked at the dispensations. I'm not going to repeat and go through a lot of these. God's revelation concerning himself and his work has been progressive, and the responsibility of man during each time periods are different. That is the foundation for each dispensation. These periods are called a dispensation. And we saw there are seven of them: innocence, conscience, human government, promise, law, grace, and the kingdom to come. These are the seven known and accepted dispensation by fundamental believers around the world. Now, like I said last week, if you are not attentive, you won't get anything. Even a second if you miss, because I am going to go on a super high speed here. So people say I normally speak fast. Sometimes I say either I speak fast or you are slow in hearing, one or the other. So we'll find out. So if you, please stay with me. I'm going to be on a high speed here now. These are the things we looked at. I'm going to take a sidestep here from the future, and I'm going to go. This is a part of the signs of the last days. It's very important to know before we go into the future. Which we, Lord willing, not next Sunday, but next Sunday we have a visiting speaker, and the following Sunday, hopefully I will come back and finish it. We looked at, started looking at the signs of the last days. The disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked a question. Actually, they asked three questions. We look at it now. They asked three questions to the Lord. Well, before we get to that, I'm a little jumping ahead here. We saw that there are three stages of the Lord's coming. right? One, he already came 2,000 years ago. And then the second coming has two stages, which is one will be as Paul says in Colossians, in 1 Thessalonians, that he will come in the mid-air. But the signs that the Lord gave him, and he promised that he will come. He didn't say, I will come two times. He just said, I will return. John chapter 14, verse 3. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we also saw the angels after the resurrection, after the ascension, the disciples were standing on the Mount Olive and gazing into heaven, and the angel came and said, the same Jesus, as you have seen him go, will come back. But even there also, it didn't say he will take two stages of coming. But that becomes more clear to us as we study the book of Thessalonians and other verses as Apostle Paul and others are making it clear. First, Paul writes about his coming in mid-air, the first part of his coming. In Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17, this will happen any time. There is no signs to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord in the mid-air. And that will be bring the church age or the age of grace, which you and I live, or generally sometimes it is known as the bracket period, because you don't see this in the seven dispensation. In the grace period, the church age will come to an end when the Lord comes to take his people home. All true born-again believers who are dead will rise again, and living will be transformed and taken up to heaven to be with the Lord for a period of 7 years. We'll come that hopefully the next study about the 7 years and how that's going to happen. Now the second stage of his coming. Now the Lord came in the midair. He takes his people home, and they are in heaven for a period of 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, the Lord will come down physically back to this earth. That is the time he comes physically back to the earth. The first one, he's come to the midair, halfway, and the people of God are taken up, caught up together, and they will be with the Lord for 7 years. But the end of 7 years, he will physically come. The second stage of his coming is 7 years in the Great Tribulation period. After the 7 years, he will return to the earth to establish his kingdom on earth along with the church, as we see it in Revelation chapter 19. Now, like I said, I'm giving you only an overview of things, okay? I'm not going to read a lot of passages. You have to trust me, it is there. At that time, he will physically return to the earth on Mount Olive from where he ascended into heaven. Today, what is the Lord doing? The highest job and responsibility that you and I enjoy here on this earth is he is seated in the right hand of God interceding for us. Right now, as you speak, as you are sitting there and listening to me, and as I am standing here and speaking, the Lord interceding on my behalf. Never forget this fact. Every day when you go out, you are in school, in your workplaces, you are in the car, traveling, you are sleeping, whatever you are doing in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, is seated on the right hand of God and interceding for us. I would say many times to myself, if it is not, he is not there interceding for us, George Bijon won't be standing here. Perhaps many of us won't be here. So that is what he is doing now. There are many indications in the scripture that we are living in the last days. And we can expect our Lord to come for us any time. We touched upon it briefly last time. The Lord can come any time. There is no time left set. There are many time setters because of the interest in the subject. They started putting dates on it. That's the wrong thing to do. The conditions of the world that we will study together are applicable to both stages, because he says when he comes in two stages, it's almost to the close within 7 years, a period of time. The conditions of the earth that we are going to look together in the next few slides are towards just common for the both coming. Okay. But let's at least read this Matthew 24. It's an important verse. So let's look at that. The Lord's answer to his disciples when he was asked, what is the sign for your coming? Matthew 24, verse 37. And we read like this. But as the days of Noah, the Lord said it will be like the days of Noah. Okay, we'll come back to this. What is days of Noah look like? For so shall the also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Lord, I think this is the perhaps the perfect passage to look, what are the signs of the end times? The Lord, and another passage we can look at is Luke 17, very similar passage. Now look at, we are going to together look at some conditions of the earth. These conditions existed at the time of Noah. Very similar conditions existed at the first coming of our Lord. When he came physically, he was born. If you look at the spiritual conditions of the people of that time, it is very similar. And if you consider today's date, today's time, if you look at the conditions of that existed at the time of Noah, the flood, is very similar to what's happening all around us. So that's exactly the word Lord said. So spiritually, if you look at them, their life, the people were at a very low ebb or a decline in their spiritual life. Well, what do you think? Is that true today? Yes? Only few people believe it. But anyway, that is very true. Look around. Spiritual declination is rapidly going so deep and down conditions of people. Overall condition. I'm not saying no godly people there. I'm not saying not spiritual people. Overall picture of the earth, the world around us. The spiritual, they are declining. Spiritually, they are declining. That is one condition or situation that was prevalent at the time of Noah. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Well, the Lord said that they will have 120 years of life, meaning, in other words, he was saying, I'm going to ask Noah to build an ark, which took 120 years, and they lived that 120 years, and they witnessed what they are doing, they mocked at him, they did not believe him. And then, in verse 5 of that chapter 6 of Genesis, we read, then the Lord saw, it is a serious statement. When the Lord sees something, he takes it very seriously. If the Lord sees something in your life, mind you, he takes it seriously. When the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What a statement. Not from the prophet, not from anybody else. This statement was made by God himself. Man's heart was continually evil. Well, you don't have to go very far. Just step outside and look around. This is very true today. Noah's preaching of righteousness and coming judgment had no effect in their life. Honestly speaking, in today's communication platforms available, I believe the gospel is going out even in the remote places. But what effect does it have? The preaching of the righteousness and the coming judgment is preached all over the world in many ways. Radios and TVs and all kinds of public communication platforms. But it has no effect in the life of people. Sometimes you and I wonder, people hear the word, we preach, we give them tracts, we witness to them, they will live a life of holiness before them, set an example before them, give all kinds of exposure to the true loving God. But it has no effect in their life. This was true at the time of Noah. He preached for 120 years while he was building that ark, and it did no effect in the life of people. Socially, that is the spiritual condition we looked, but socially, they were degraded. If you think of social degradation, you have to really look back into the time of Noah. If you think that today's 21st century, these nations around us are socially degraded, look back to Noah's time. Now it came to pass, verse 1 of chapter 6, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw daughters of men, that were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, all of them whom they chose. The Lord is not condemning marriage here. They just married whoever they want, how many people they want. And they just, it was a moral declination among them. Well, our brother Arturo is covering that subject, how in more detail last week he did on this. So I won't go into that. But socially, that generation was very bad. And the Lord said, just remember the days of Noah. And that's what happened even today. Verse 11 says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Not 1 week passes by without hearing violence, mass murder. That's all around the world. Not only here. I saw yesterday a picture somebody sent to me, bunch of believers standing in line, head down, and a guy has his entire body covered with an axe about to hit him. And I'm sure they did. Violence all around the world. This was the situation there. Corruption and violence was common. Sinful depravity were prevalent. Genesis 6:13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Again, when the Lord speaks, you better take it seriously. Eat, drink, and be merry. This was their slogan. Well, do you see any difference today? Majority of the population, 7.3 billion people, majority of the people's slogan and one and only desire is these three things. Eat, drink, and be merry. This was exactly the same situation at the time of Noah. Scientifically, well, we say we are scientifically advanced. I agree with you in some extent. I did myself in a very high-tech industry in my life. Scientifically, in their age, they were also very advanced. Okay? Here's a verse that says, Adah bore Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His father's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as of Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. They were able to do all these things, musical instruments, and works in the iron and brass were made in those days. These are scientific advancements of that time. Since their mind, they rejected God. While they do all these things, mentally they were deluded, Genesis 6, verse 8 to 19. Their minds were occupied with the pleasures of this world. Their minds were occupied with the pleasures of this world. And the Lord looked down and said, this earth is corrupt. I'm going to bring judgment. And nobody believed. Except how many? 8 were saved. I would probably suggest that only Noah and his wife believed. The rest of them were dragged into it, perhaps. I don't know. Let's say 8. Out of how many thousands, perhaps millions who lived at the time, they did not believe it. When we say judgment is coming, people joke, what judgment? The time is the same. Therefore, the Lord said, remember the days of Noah. Well, godly people were very, very few in those days. And I think a few months ago, maybe a year ago, I spoke from here the godliness of a believer. And if you really count, you can almost count on your finger the godly people whom you know in your life. That number is really going down. You will see a lot of Christians, so-called, or even believers who come to Sunday morning worship, and they count themselves to be, including myself, I'm not blaming you. But are you a godly person? What will God tell you? We were studying the book of Daniel on Friday night. Oh, the statement that God made about Daniel is amazing. He's my greatly beloved Daniel. Are you a godly person? Am I a godly person? There were very few godly people at the time of Noah before the flood came. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When the judgment of God came, only 8 were saved. They did not believe Noah's word. and thus we are not expecting the judgment to come. In Luke chapter 18, the Lord said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Well, you may say, "I have faith." I will say, "I have faith too." But that is not what the Lord is referring. In that particular parable, the Lord is emphasizing the persistence of the widow. We can read through that parable and sometimes forget the importance of it. He was highlighting the persistence of the faith of that widow. Let me ask you, how persistent are you in your faith? A small hindrance comes in your life, you will say, "Oh, this is it. I'm done." I know people who said that. Maybe in my actions, I may not have done it, but in my mind, sometimes I think. But this widow, she continued. We don't have time. You know the place. You can read that when you attempt to read the Luke 18, the parable of the woman who continuously come and bothered the person until she got the answer. That is the persistence of faith that the Lord is saying. Will I find that kind of faith? Will that kind of faith be found in you and me as we live on this earth? That was not there at the time of Noah. Now the suddenness of his coming. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Do you know, have you noticed in this world how many nations, national leaders, organizations, groups of people, all trying to make peace and prosperity and safety? Everybody is promising. Is it really happening? No. Well, you may have a little bit here and a little bit there, and you know, but then sudden destruction will come. The only instance this verse of word unaware is the interpreted is in Luke chapter 21. Unaware. The judgment will come when nobody is expecting it. An unexpected time as a thief in the night. Well, you heard about thieves, right? What time of the day they come? 8 o'clock in the morning when you are getting ready to go to work. You are standing at the door. He comes to steal something, right? No, I never seen a thief like that. When you are sound asleep, 3 a.m. in the morning, that is the time that he comes. The thief comes in a time that nobody expected. The day will come. This is the statement of William MacDonald. Listen carefully with this. That day will come deceptively, suddenly, destructively, inevitably, and inescapably. Solemn statement by the servant of God. It is inevitable and unavoidable as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They cannot predict when it will happen. They know it will happen, but they don't know when it will happen. Unexpected time it will happen. Falling away from faith, that's another sign. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. This is about reference to the coming days after the church is taken, but that day is not too far. If the Lord comes tonight, it's almost here. It's almost here. But look around the falling away of the faith. The passage could also be interpreted as, this particular passage can be also be interpreted as leaving, taking the church, being removed from the earth. But the next passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, meaning at the end days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Pay close attention to this verse because there are a number of things we are going to look at here. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, let me come to the last word there, hot iron. How many of you had a finger or something burned with a hot iron? Very few. I had. For the next few minutes or days sometimes, you touch them, you don't feel anything. Right? Am I right? That's exactly what it says here. Their mind, their conscience is smeared, therefore they don't feel it. It's almost like an iron heated and smeared on their brain.
That is why what the people don't understand. They don't believe in the coming of the Savior. They don't believe in judgment. They will reject your gospel because their mind is iron. It's smeared with a hot iron. You come across people with no conscience in their whatever they do because their mind is smeared with hot iron. This is the type of people in those days, also Noah's time. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Whether you noticed it or not, this is spreading all over the world. Deceiving spirits, doctrines of the demons being preached and practiced even in this country. Seducing spirits are generally considered as those who deny incarnation, which that defeats the whole gospel if you deny the incarnation. Deceiver means one who deceives or seduces. Antichrist and false prophets deceive by words and false signs. We'll look at it as the time goes on. Those who say that they have not sinned, 1 John 1:8. Again, if you go and tell the people about the sin, they will say, no, I'm not a sinner. Don't call me a sinner. There was a church in California. What was the name of it? They all said, they don't call people sinners. What's his name? I forgot his name. The Christian cathedral with the glass. Anybody remember? Robert Schuller. He says, don't call people sinners. People are not sinners. We just have to build them up in positive thinking. People want to believe they are not sinners. If they are not sinners, they don't need a savior. If I am not sick, I don't need a doctor. We do need a savior because we are sinners. This is another problem with people. They will say, hey, I don't have any sin. I'm not a sinner. Don't call me a sinner. Satan is described as a deceiver in the Revelation chapter 20. If you are honest and look around, we see the work of seducing spirits all around us. You just have to have your eyes open, the spiritual mind open, and look around and see. You will see deceiving spirits all around us. Here is the most dangerous one that can affect you and me. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, Paul says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Look at the list of things. You may not qualify in every one of these statements, but perhaps it is possible that something of this list that is given here is in your life and my life. Look at this carefully. Lovers of money, lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, that means saying untrue negative things about someone, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. Traitors means person who betrays a friend. Headstrong, meaning strong-willed or unyielding. Haughty, proud or arrogant. Lovers of pleasure. Does the bell ring? In anybody's mind, on any one of this. Well, the story doesn't end there. I highlighted on big letters the last problem. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. This is definitely the sign in the churches today. Many will go to church. 9:15, they come in at 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock. They don't show up at all sometime. Somehow make it to the church. This is one of the most deception that takes place today. To have a form of godliness, some kind of a religious feeling, but denying the power of it. I said many churches are filled with people. Not all, of this nature. I believe there will be many unsaved that are baptized and are members of the churches. I strongly, personally believe, you can disagree with me, we can lovingly agree to disagree. There will be people in churches today. I have come across people personally, my own personal experience, but I won't judge them. They look outwardly, everything normal. They say, I want to be baptized. We baptize them. But denying the power of it, but God, no effect of the gospel in their life. Paul uses the word perilous. Hard to deal with. Did you have ever had any person that you come across in your life? A believer or a Christian in your life that, man, it is so hard to deal with that person. I don't see anybody saying yes there. I'm sure you did. I did. Perilous time. Hard to deal with people. Are you a person hard to deal with? How soft are you? Can somebody approach? I've heard people talk about others. He's an unapproachable person. I have come across that, like people like that. You. Are you really an approachable person? Are you a perilous person or a hard to deal with person? These are the signs of the end time. Those who will not take a firm stand for the doctrine. I'm almost getting close. We are almost to the end here. Those who will not take a firm stand for the doctrine. For time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Oh, I wish I had time to spend on this. Please meditate upon yourself. Churches are full of this. They just want to hear. They just want to go and sit there and enjoy and have a good time, a good music, a good message. Nothing wrong with those. I'm not condemning those. But that is, it is false, I say. That's what Paul says. If that is all it is, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Paul admonishes his younger brother, saying, but you, my younger brother, you, my brothers and sisters, young people, children who are listening to me, but you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, or do the work whatever the Lord has given you. Fulfill your ministry. I hope this will be your desire and my desire. Although the things may not look good all around, but you don't have to be part of that statistics. You can be part of God's will under his arms. They will say that the preaching of the doctrines of the Bible is not essential. How many of you heard that? Many times, over and again. I'm sure Brother Alex must have heard it many times. Don't preach doctrines. Preach to us, you know, some good ear-filling messages. We want to hear something that is pleasing to our ears. Don't preach doctrines. Men will be add numerous man-made rules and regulations in the church that are foreign to the New Testament church. We looked at the denominations last few months ago. This is exactly what happened. Paul again gives an admonition to Timothy and Titus in 2 Timothy 1:3, 13 and Titus 1:9. There will be scoffers. Has anybody made fun of you, of your faith? When you stand for the Lord, anybody has made fun of you? If not, it will happen. Scoffers are willingly ignorant on certain things. When the scripture has clearly narrated the creation, the judgment of the flood, and the coming judgment and clear gospel is given, scoffers refuse to believe it. Their own ideas and desires govern them. They desire to continue in lustful lives. It is a choice they make. This past weekend, we were talking to someone in their home. Every one of us, young and old, will come across crossroads. We can make a choice of do the right thing, or you can make a choice of do the wrong thing. A willful, conscious choice that you and I have to make to live for the Lord. Their own ideas and desires govern them. They desire to continue in their lustful lives. Concluding, I'm almost there. These were the conditions of mankind before the flood. And the Lord clearly gave this as a sign for his coming. Well, what do you think? Are we at the end days? Is the Lord's coming getting close? I will never put a date, believe me. But I believe that his coming is close. All the signs that existed at the time of Noah literally is happening today here on this earth, all around us. But as far as his coming in the clouds to take his church home, he did not give any particular sign for that. Everything is packaged as a signs for the second coming. That simply means no sign to be fulfilled before the rapture. It can happen any time. There is no sign of prophecy remaining to be fulfilled before the rapture. An application where I started. The purpose of this study is this. Therefore, Peter says, 2 Peter 3:11, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness. And if you don't take this word seriously, my 3 weeks of preaching is waste. This is the very purpose for this study. What kind of person are you? What Peter is asking 2,000 years ago. Therefore, since all these things will happen, these signs are happening, the Lord is going to come, what kind of person you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness? Question to every one of you. Are you ready? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just asking you simply deep into your heart. Are you ready? I would say majority may say, yes, I am ready. Praise the Lord. But if you are not, my question is, why not? What is that one thing holding you to be ready? What is that one thing to commit your life fully to the Lord? What is that one thing to reject the gospel that you heard a million times over? If you don't know the Savior today, whether you are young or old or whoever you are, if you have not clearly believed the gospel and have not been saved and not sure about it, why not? And I hope you will answer, and I will answer this question to ourselves. We will come back to our continue for the future study a few more important things and a quick overview. Maybe if I don't finish in 1 week, we probably take one more. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning. We know the Lord is coming. Impress upon my heart, O God, what kind of person am I? Knowing that these things will happen, God, our Father, we pray that Thou may speak to every one of our hearts. Not today, every day of our life, that we may live in anticipation of the coming of the Savior. I'm going to take 30 seconds more. I'm going to take 30 seconds more. As you close your eyes and remain closed, I want you to think of your heart. What is that one thing that holding you back? Not to be ready. I heard an illustration many years ago. I'm going to say that today. A brother said, there was an elderly dear sister. Every night before she went to bed, she will step outside, look up into heaven and said, Lord, you didn't come today. Perhaps tonight. Next day morning, that dear sister will wake up in the morning, go outside and look up to the heaven and say, Lord, you didn't come last night, perhaps today. This is not a story. A real person who lived and said this every day of her life. What is your expectation of the coming of the Lord, of the Savior? Lord bless you.